Hello and welcome to another episode of Clutch Football. I'm your host, James Martin. I'm joined as ever by Fabio Duarte, and this week we're pleased to welcome Liverpool.com journalist Joel Rabinowitz to the show. Thanks a lot for coming on, Joel. How are you doing?
I'm good, mate. Good to speak again. It's been a while, and thanks for having me on as a guest.
Yeah, not at all. I think it's a good week to have you with Liverpool City coming up. Looking forward to this one. We'll be discussing that game and just Liverpool season more generally as well. And then we'll move on to the rest of the match list, where we'll be giving value and wildcard tips for Everton against Manchester United and Leicester versus Wolves. But just briefly, before we get going, we should round up the tips from last week. I don't want to leave Joel sitting there for too long, so we'll power through these. Fabio, how did you get on?
So I had both teams to score in Aston Villa against Southampton. For a long time, I was worried there, but in the end, that came in easily, 8-15. Also had Danny Ings to score first. He scored, obviously not first, but that's the risk you run with that sort of tip.
Yep, so that one was a tough game for me to take because I'd gone Southampton as the value which came in, but Southampton minus one was my wild card tip, and they were 4-1 up in the 93rd minute and that somehow not come in, so that was a bit gutting. But yeah, one out of two for me there. What about the next game?
The next one I had under 2.5 goals and under 1.5 goals in Manchester United against Arsenal. Both of those came in 6-5 and 7-2, so really happy with that.
Yeah, very nice. One out of two for me again there. Value came in, the wild card didn't. Yeah, Arsenal to win either half was the success there. And then just the Leicester game left, how did that go for you?
I tried to repeat my trick. Under 2.5 goals at evens and under 1.5 goals at 3-1. Neither of them came off. Leicester have been impossible to predict this season, really.
Yeah, fair enough. I went 3-3 on the value with that one. I got Vardy to score. So all of my values came in at over evens, but none of the wild cards, sadly. Overall, wildcard just missed out as well. It was an accumulator. I needed under two goals in the Wolves game. So that was the only leg that let me down. So one goal out on the 8-1 accumulator. How was your overall wildcard?
I went for Tariq Lamptey anytime score at 20-1. Very happy with that one. It was a foul in the build-up, but like the ref, I'm going to ignore that. I'd planned to tip this one a few weeks ago. I did all the research for it, and then I backed out. Coincidentally, I went for James Ward-Prowse to score from outside the box that week. But in the end, I held off, and luckily I picked the right week.
Yeah, I mean, this is just getting stupid at this point. You remember when Robertson scored the other week, Joel? He's tipped that one as well on the podcast. I don't know how he's doing these defender tips, but I mean, I'll take it as long as they keep coming in. But anyway, let's get started on this week's match list. And Joel, I'm going to turn to you straight away. Are we looking at a clash between the only two genuine title contenders in Liverpool and Man City?
I think so. Yeah, it feels like every week was a new team sort of takes turns to be dubbed like outside title challengers. It's been Spurs recently, and yeah, it feels like whichever team gets a little bit of run of form together, people start putting them in the conversation. But I think, yeah, it's still so early on, and once you get to the point where you can actually look at a table after 15, 20 games, once we get to around Christmas time, I sort of expect those two to kind of pull away from the rest. I haven't been impressed really with City. I've watched a fair bit of their games this season, and it's weird. The narrative around them is always around their defending supposedly not being up to scratch, but it's, if anything, it's their attack that's been worse this season, not been really creating chances. And when they have, they've not been finishing them very well at all. But if you look at the expected league table, they're very middle of the road in terms of chance creation, which is completely the opposite to last season when they were even ahead of Liverpool, miles away at the top in terms of expected goals, and they've dropped way off in that regard. So yeah, still can't quite make my mind up on them. But yeah, it'll be a fascinating one, especially after Liverpool's performance last night, which was much needed.
Yeah, for sure. It's an interesting one as well, like you say, with the expected goals, because on the one hand, you give them the defence in terms of their attack that Aguero and Jesus have both been out, but that doesn't affect the creation of chances you wouldn't have thought. So the fact that they're down on that as well maybe does point to something a bit more underlying. But no, I tend to agree these are the only two realistic contenders. I mean, Leicester are getting mentioned again after a big win. But yeah,
it was the same last season up until Christmas, wasn't it?
That's the thing, yeah. And then they just fell away horribly, particularly post-restart. Yeah, I think the quality gap between these top two sides and the rest of the league is still pretty large. but I'll turn to a Chelsea fan to see if he would agree with that assessment. Do you think that's fair, Fabio?
Sadly, yes. I'd love to throw Chelsea into the mix, but I don't think our defence is quite up to scratch. Liverpool and Man City obviously don't look as good as they did last year. Man City to a lesser extent, but I still think they're the two that are going to be battling out for the title.
Fair enough. So all in agreement there. And with Liverpool's start to the season more generally, I feel a little silly asking this after last night's performance, like you mentioned, with the massive win over Atalanta. But I'm thinking, are we seeing a continuation of the sort of find a way to win mentality in the league? Or have you been at all concerned by some of the performances so far, Joel?
It's been a strange season. It feels like we sort of had like three or four distinct phases, but it started off really kind of quite ropey in the first game and it got a late penalty to beat Leeds. And then it sort of smoothed out a little bit. You saw them kind of roll Chelsea and Arsenal over with kind of relatively little fuss. And you thought, here we go again, they're back on it. And then the Villa game happens. And then you have obviously the madness of the derby, which they should have won, obviously. And then you've got the ramifications of the injury that came out of that. And then since then, since the last international break, I don't know about if you're the same, but it's just felt like really hard work watching them. They've been getting the results against Ajax and Sheffield United and West Ham and Midtjylland as well. They've all just felt like a real slog, which has been a little bit concerning because you can't just keep playing like that forever and relying on sort of moments of inspiration to pull you through in games. And the performances have been pretty stodgy. And then last night, with the one that everyone was billing as a really tough game against one of the best attacking sides in Europe, they just go there and it all clicks and they're on fire and there's this new look front three, which just looks even better than the old version. That was very reassuring to see from back to front, really, including the defence and the keeper and the midfield. There wasn't a single performance that you wouldn't say was top class. So that bodes well. It feels like it's sort of hopefully turned a little bit of a corner in terms of performance level going into Sunday.
Yeah, although I suppose, like you say, you're reluctant to call anything a turning point, given that we've had about three of them so far this season. Lurching back and forth. But yeah, you're right. It was a nice kind of holiday from the stress of watching Liverpool. It was back to the old days where we just absolutely turned teams over. I tend to think on the attacking side, it might be a bit of a one-off just because Atalanta played in a way that no one really plays against us anymore for that very reason. But I really definitely take your point on the defensive side of things. That kind of, in some ways, makeshift unit with Reece Williams in there just looked completely assured for most of that game.
If you said at the start of a season that they would have gone into that fixture with no Van Dijk, no Fabinho, Matip on the bench, no Thiago, and obviously Firmino not starting as well. But yeah, you're right, that the defensive solidity with a teenager who, as everyone keeps saying, but it's true, was playing in the National League up until March. That takes some doing. I had a look at their numbers earlier today for a piece, actually, Atalanta, and they only failed to score in 4 out of 48 games last season in all competitions. So I know Liverpool went there and made them look ordinary, but they're not a bad team at all. It was just best performance of a calendar year by far, in my opinion, for Liverpool.
Yeah, hard to disagree with that. And Fabio, you liked the performance of Jota, I take it, for the Portuguese national side prospects.
Yeah, I did. That actually leads me nicely on to my tip. I've gone for Diogo Jota, anytime goal scorer, at 11-5. So he's not guaranteed to start, but he's in great form. He's got every chance of starting, given Firmino's recent output. The hat-trick against Atalanta in midweek shows just how confident he is. And Man City have been leaky all season. They play with a high line, and he's got the pace to exploit that.
Yeah, I like that a lot. He's the man in form. I don't think anyone expected him to hit the ground running quite this much. I really like the signing straight away, but yeah, I mean, I didn't think he'd necessarily be even playing this much, let alone scoring for fun like this. And I think at this stage, he has to start at the weekend, doesn't he? What do you reckon, Joel?
I think so, yeah. You've got to reward form. Okay, I was having a look at the numbers earlier today compared to sort of previous and current players in terms of Mane and Salah when they first arrived. And he's got 7 goals in 500 minutes so far. And I think Salah was on 4, Mane 3, Suarez 2, Torres 3, So he's basically doubling the rate of some of these guys, which obviously he's not going to continue at that rate forever, unless he is actually the best player of all time. But yeah, I was the same as you. I was delighted when I saw the signing sort of come out of nowhere. But yeah, you're looking at, I can't recall in my lifetime a player who's come in and started quite as brilliantly as that, with kind of relatively modest expectations. I think we all sort of saw him as primarily backup and rotation option for this season at least, and he would come into it next season. But yeah, I think you've got to go with him again on Sunday.
Yeah, I like the look of that. I've gone for over 3.5 goals on the value market, which comes in at 6-5. We've had a lot of high scorers in this fixture in the recent past. Unfortunately, Liverpool have often been on the wrong end of it, particularly at the Etihad. There was the 4-0 last season and the 5-0 a few years back now. But then also on the other side of that coin, there was the 4-3 win for Liverpool in the reverse fixture and then the 3-1 last season. So yeah, given the high-scoring nature of the whole season so far as well, and the fact that both sides have at times looked vulnerable defensively, I think it seems pretty reasonable to expect the trend to continue here. Did you have a value on this one, Joel?
I did. I think it's a pretty safe one, but I've just gone both teams to score 4-9 because, yeah, I'd be stunned, to be honest, if either team keeps a clean sheet.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And even at the relatively low odds, that still seems potentially slightly overpriced. You'd be shocked to see a shutout from either side. Fabio, why don't you give us your wild card?
Well, I looked at the over goals market, but I'd need over 5.5 for the wild card threshold. So I've gone for something else instead. It's quite out there. Joao Cancelo to score at 11-1. Tipping a defender to score on this podcast just automatically makes them more likely to score. Cancelo started the last three league games at left back, where he's performed very well. He's up against Alexander-Arnold, who is going to give him space in behind. He's naturally right-footed, which means he's got the option to cut in, but he showed that he can also use his left very well. He scored a goal from range with his left midweek. And lastly, I think it'll be high scoring, so that bodes well for any unlikely scorers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know what to say to these tips at this stage. I've used up all of my variations on it's unlikely, but I can't write it off. But yeah, I see the logic. There is always a bit of space on the flanks given the way Liverpool play. It's an almost unique system in terms of the reliance on the fullbacks getting high up the pitch. So yeah, I'll let you off. I don't see it happening, but it's good odds. I've gone a bit more down the line. Well, to some extent, it's still quite high odds. I'm putting my strong record tipping Liverpool at risk here. I've gone for Liverpool -1 at 13-2 on the handicap market. I should say I don't necessarily think that it'll happen, but for me, the value does lie in backing Liverpool because a City win is less than evens, which against last year's runaway champions is a bit insulting, to be honest. It's far from inconceivable. Klopp gets the best of Guardiola, as he has done in the past. I'll be the first to admit that some bias might have crept in here, but I'm just not going to bet against Liverpool in a big game like this one. What about you, Joel? What have you gone with?
Well, just on that general point there, I'm always staggered by what the bookies do with City in any season. I remember last season, the game at Anfield, when we went into it, obviously off an amazing run of form. And the City were odds on at Anfield last season. It was ridiculous. I mean, we were like 2-1 or something. I think they were about 13-10. Which just felt a bit mad.
Yeah, on the start of the season preview podcast, we had a look at overall title odds. And again, City were coming in at odds on, as you say. And just after Liverpool had won it quite so convincingly the year before, I don't really know how they work these things out. But anyway, go on.
It's usually the same in Champions League as well. We always back them in the Champions League to win it, which just, yeah. I don't know how they come to that conclusion. But anyway, I've gone for a pretty wild one, but I think it's that speculative. So it's a 25-1 wild card shot here. But it's Liverpool to win 2-1, which I see as a kind of reasonable scoreline, and Jota to score any time, which, yeah, at the moment feels fairly probable. So yeah, a lot would have to come together for that, but it feels good value anyway for a punt.
Yeah, you can come back on, mate. I'm loving the 25-1 shouts. That's what we like. Brave calls. As you say, a lot needs to come in for that, both an exact scoreline and a goal scorer. But yeah, as you say, we've already backed Jota on the value market to score, so 2-1 doesn't seem hugely outlandish. I would take that all day long from a Liverpool fan perspective. But yeah, we'll move on to the next game. I think it's another interesting one to cover, particularly with two Liverpool fans on. It's Everton against Manchester United. And Joel, I'll turn to you first for your value pick.
Well, technically, both of mine are quite similar odds, actually. So I'll go for the one, which is more likely. So I've got Man United to score a penalty, which to me, it's 9-2. So it actually is more of a wild card. It's more than 3-1, obviously. But given what's kind of happened over the last year or so, and this season, that feels like a pretty much, if not nailed on, it happens every other game. So, yeah, 9-2 on that for me feels like a very reasonable shout.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about the format. It's pretty loose. We're just here to talk about football, really, and chuck in some odds where appropriate.
I was amazed that they were that big, to be honest.
That does seem surprising, especially as, like I said the other week, United can even get penalties after full time. So you've got an extra chance of that one coming in. Yeah, I quite like that. It seems like it's overpriced. Fabio, what do you think?
Yeah, I like the sound of that. I don't know what the stats are, but I'd imagine every other game or every three games they're getting a penalty. So it looks good.
Sounds about right, yeah. What was your value pick?
I've gone for double chance Everton or draw at 4-7. A lot of people are suggesting that the wheels have come off at Everton. I think that might be a little bit premature. Everton were missing several key players against Newcastle. James Rodriguez and Lucas Digne are two of the most creative, and they're both set to be back. Meanwhile, United have turned in a poor performance against Arsenal. We're recording before their Champions League game tonight, so I've covered myself a bit with a double chance.
Yeah, to be honest, I always think that the wheels are on the brink of coming off for Everton. So I'm not sure I can fully agree, as particularly with Richarlison still suspended after his absolute horror tackle in the derby, by the way. But we won't get back into that again. Yeah, I see why you're doing that. But for me, at such low odds, I don't necessarily see that being value. But yeah, I don't know if you have any views on that, Joel.
Yeah, so do you want me to go ahead with my next one? Because it's sort of...
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
So I've just gone for the draw, which is 5-2. It could be made to look stupid here, but for me, looking at the weekend's fixtures, this is the most nailed-on draw I've seen. Just two teams coming out of a run of pretty horrendous league form in the last couple of games. Definitely won't want to lose again. Looking at the expected table, United are currently second from bottom. They're behind Burnley and Fulham, just above West Brom in terms of actual what they should have done given the chances they've created and conceded. They're not playing well. They score a lot of penalties, but from open play, they're creating very little. As you said, Everton is still going to be without Richarlison. I think Coleman's also a major doubt for this one. So, yeah, it feels like one that the impact of losing just feels too big. I can see it being quite a cagey, sort of cautious, low-scoring game. So I wouldn't surprise if it ends up being a 0-0 or a 1-1. But for me, yeah, 5-2 seems pretty reasonable for the draw.
Well, fair enough. I'm clearly in the minority here, but my value tip at least links in with what you were saying there. I've gone with under 2.5 goals, which comes in at evens, just for all the reasons you were saying there, really.
Yeah.
Especially with, as we mentioned, with Richarlison being out. There's a chance United could scupper it with one of their occasional routes. Whilst I am enjoying that stat you brought up about the expected league table, we have seen them knock in a fair few against Newcastle, and then also in Europe where they just randomly beat RB Leipzig 5-0. I don't think anyone was expecting that. but yeah, they've not scored in the last two league games, so I think there's a decent chance of that one coming in. The wild card is where I have major disagreements with you, because I've gone for half-time, full-time United at 3-1, i.e. United to be ahead at half-time and at full-time. Yeah. It could easily be scuppered by a cagey first half. But for me, they're the likely winners. And this is the market where I found a bit of value in tipping that. Everything you've said is true. Everton will have some creative players back, like you mentioned, Fabio. And it's not like United have looked brilliant. It's just, for me, Richarlison is a really big miss. And Calvert-Lewin on this weird hot streak is masking what is still a relatively average upper mid-table side. So I fancy United, and that's 3-1 to back them on that. So that's why I've gone with that. Fabio, any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I completely disagree, and you'll find out why with my tip. I've gone for Calvert-Lewin to score and Everton to win at 3-1. All the same things I said earlier. The creative players returning, I think, is huge for Everton. Calvert-Lewin should get a lot more service, and I'm just not at all convinced by United.
Yeah, I see the logic. It's just a case of whether when your main creative threat is James Rodriguez, can teams suffocate that just by sticking someone on James Rodriguez? I know it's pretty simplistic, but he is just so far and away the most creative player in that side. I know you mentioned Digne, and it is worth pointing him out, but those are the two creative outlets, particularly if Coleman is out. So, I mean, what you're looking at is a team that I think is quite easy to keep quiet, even though they have been scoring fairly freely through Calvert-Lewin. But
he also can't run, mate. That's the other thing. In terms of trying to shut it down, he's not exactly the most mobile player. So
yeah,
you would expect to sort of have a game plan for him. Just on the Calvert-Lewin thing, I've been thinking this all season with him and Bamford. At what point is it no longer a hot streak, I suppose? Because I remember that season, whenever it was, when Kane first started scoring regularly for Spurs. I'm not saying either of them are going to go on to those levels, but it's like, I see more in Calvert-Lewin to think that he can actually sort of maintain this and do like a 20-goal season. But
yeah, you make a good point with the Kane comparison. Like you say, it's not a direct comparison, but yeah, I did make myself look extremely stupid at the time by questioning how sustainable Kane's scoring run was. So arguably, I should be keeping quiet now, but that's not what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out on a limb and say the goals are going to dry up a bit. But I don't think we're miles apart. I think a 15-goal season is still very plausible. But I mean, he's scoring everything that comes to him at the moment, and surely that's not going to carry on for the whole season. But anyway,
no. But he is already on 8.
Yeah, so. That's true. When you hit the ground running like this, it obviously leaves you with less to do to hit those impressive numbers come the end of the season. But yeah, I mean, I don't think, even though some of these tips are pretty contradictory, I don't think we're miles apart in how we necessarily see this game going. But it could be an interesting one. Two teams who have been a bit up and down, a bit hard to predict. So we'll see how it pans out. Let's swiftly move on. Last game on the match list this week is Leicester against Wolves. I actually think this is a really big game. It's almost kind of the City against Liverpool of the top four race. These are the two biggest kind of non-traditional challenges to the Champions League spots this season, in my opinion. It'll be really interesting to see who comes out on top head-to-head. Fabio, I know you agree with me that Wolves are the sort of dark horses for Champions League, so I'll ask Joel, do you think that's a reasonable shout?
Not Champions League, no. I can't see them doing it. I think maybe Europa League, they could get back in this season. I've watched a fair bit of them this season, mainly because I have Raul Jimenez in my fantasy team. And they're such a strange side, Wolves, where they don't create very much at all. It's really frustrating owning Jimenez because he never gets the ball. And he scored, I think he's on like 5 goals or something already this season. 4, there we are. But they're mostly just sort of random moments that come very out of context within the game. It's not like Wolves build loads of pressure and he's getting loads of chances. I loved watching Adama Traore last season, and Nuno seems to have sort of given up on him and is just playing Neto Prudence every week. And they're doing all kinds of strange stuff. Obviously, they've changed both wing-backs this season, losing Doherty. Semedo's come in and not quite hit the ground running just yet. And on the left-hand side, it's been weird playing Sice and Marcel there, who don't look like proper wing-backs going forward. They're a very solid team, you'd have to say, at the back. Obviously, that Kilman who's come in looks a really good player. And Cody's having a great season. So, yeah, I think they're solid. I don't particularly enjoy watching Wolves, I have to say. I think they're the sort of team that Leicester won't particularly enjoy playing either. Leicester are great against teams that come at them, like Leeds, and then they take them apart on a counter-attack, but there's no chance Wolves are going to do that when they go there.
Yeah, that's fair. Kilman, just should mention, is from mine and Fabio's local club, Maidenhead United, so good to see him doing well in the Premier League. Pretty surreal stuff, but yeah, I can see what you're saying. They haven't looked great going forward this season. The goals have been from fairly isolated attacks. But the reason I would maintain that shout is just purely because, I mean, like you were saying with United, the sort of traditional top four challenges aren't looking brilliant either. Chelsea have sorted out their defence a little bit, but you'd still suggest that's a problem area. So
yeah.
I just think if ever there's a season where one of these kind of outsiders could sneak in, it might be this year. But to be fair, what you've said does lead in nicely to my value, where I've gone for Leicester to win, which is at 13-10. Yeah, I mean, I have written down here, despite the strong start to the season results-wise, Wolves haven't always looked massively exciting. So just echoing what you've been saying, really. Disappointingly blunt. And the defence, whilst I'm happy that Kilman has apparently just turned them into some kind of elite defensive unit, it hasn't been subjected to too much stress yet. And when it was, it shipped 4 to West Ham. So with Leicester in good form after that Leeds game, I'd fancy them here at these odds. Fabio, what have you gone for on value?
Well, I agree with some of the things that have been said. Performance-wise, I am a bit disappointed with Wolves so far. But nevertheless, I'm tipping Jimenez to score at 7-4. Trying to predict Leicester has been very difficult this season, but they are conceding with some regularity. They've kept 2 clean sheets in 7, which isn't awful. But when you consider the opponents they are against, West Brom and Crystal Palace, it's hardly impressive either. Jimenez is the main guy for Wolves. He's on penalties and almost 2-1. I think that's value.
Yeah, I like that at almost 2-1. It's hard to call necessarily how the game's going to go, and Wolves will hopefully need to offer a bit more if that has a good chance of coming in. But like you say, the penalty taking aspect makes so much difference this season with the amount of spot kicks being awarded. So it's always a decent bet when you can get a penalty taker at those kind of odds who's also a threat from open play. So I don't mind that at all. Joel, did we do your value yet? I don't think we did we?
No, but I've actually gone for the same as you. I've gone for a Leicester win. It was 5-4 when I had a look at it earlier. Just purely, I think they've got a little bit more going for them going forwards. I thought they were really impressive. Obviously, Leeds made the game sort of what they would have wanted in the end. But I think they're such a streaky team, Leicester. You feel like when they're a little bit of a hot run, you can back them. And obviously, Vardy's playing brilliantly. I really like the look of Harvey Barnes as well. He's come into form. And that Cengizunda looks like a decent little player as well. I don't think he'll start, but they've got options and they've got quality going forward. And yeah, I think Wolves on the road this season, I think it's hard to see them sort of scoring more than one goal, I think, in most games. And I can see Leicester scoring more than one. So purely on that basis, I back them.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I like it given that it's my tip, but it's also like we've coordinated in advance here with you talking about Barnes, because that segues perfectly into my wild card, which is a Barnes anytime goal scorer at 10-3. Yeah, he scored against Leeds. He's got one against Burnley too. 2 goals in 7 doesn't necessarily scream value, but I mean, he started the last two in kind of attacking midfield or even centre-forward positions. He's always looking threatening on those fast breaks. I agree that against Wolves, it won't necessarily be too many of them, but with that wing-back system, there could be some space to attack from wide and then coming into Barnes, wherever he might be lining up this time. So yeah, I think it's decent value. Fabio, what do you reckon to that one?
Yeah, I think that's decent. As I said, Leicester are hard to predict. If anyone's going to score besides Vardy, I'd back Barnes.
Yeah, that's pretty much my thinking. Where have you gone on your wild card?
Well, I briefly considered last goal scorer, but I know how much you hate that. For the record, I probably would have gone for Under on last goal scorer. I think he's looked very good off the bench. I don't think he'll start, so that's why I would have picked him. Instead, and at the risk of revealing a Portuguese bias, I'm tipping a third Portuguese scorer. This one's Daniel Podence to score at 7-2. A lot of the points I made about Jimenez apply. Leicester's defence isn't impenetrable. I've already covered Jimenez to score, so together with that, I like it even more. Podence is keeping Traore out of the side. He's got 2 league goals so far, scored last weekend, and he's looking confident.
Yeah, it's one of them where I'd be really surprised if both of your tips came in, but I could easily see one of the two of them. So, yeah, covering both the likely Wolves scorers there. The only other real goal threat is Neto. I don't mind it. I probably wouldn't back it, but I can see why you've gone with that one. What about you, Joel?
In a slightly contradictory move, having kind of talked up Leicester's chances of winning on my value one, I've gone for a correct scoreline of 1-1. It just feels very much like that kind of game to me. I can't see it being particularly open, not loads of chances for either team. And they also play quite similar systems at the moment. Obviously, Wolves have always been a 3 at the back team, but Leicester are currently doing their own version of that. I can just sort of see them cancelling each other out a little bit and just being quite a turgid game. So yeah, 1-1 at 6-1, it seems like a pretty realistic scoreline to me.
Yeah, sounds plausible. I never really love exact scorelines, but yeah, I could easily see the game panning out in that kind of way. It's so hard to call, particularly with Leicester, who will, you know, rout a team one week and then just not turn up the next. But yeah, like you say, with that kind of system matchup of the two teams, you wouldn't be at all surprised to see just kind of a cancelling out process going on. So yeah, I think we're all on similar lines there. We'll move on finally to overall wild cards. These are normally good fun. Fabio, are you tipping any more defenders to score for us? Or?
Sadly not. I've gone for a big five-fold accumulator around 20-1. I won't go into too much detail. First off, I've got Southampton to beat Newcastle. Southampton are looking very strong. I think they're likely to score a few. Of course, Danny Ings is out, but there are other players in form. Next, I've got Brighton to beat Burnley. Brighton have looked good all season, but the results haven't really come. Nevertheless, they're against Burnley, who are bottom and winless, and I think they've got every chance of winning this one. I've also got Everton to beat Manchester United, which I explained earlier.
Oh, that's a big one for an accumulator, isn't it? But go on.
That pushes it to 9-1 for those three. And then I've chucked in an extra two to push it to 20-1, which is Tottenham to beat West Brom and Chelsea to beat Sheffield United. I think those two are very likely, but it boosts the odds significantly.
Absolute maverick. Where has this come from? Hello. Honestly, we get guests on, he starts showing off. What is this? This is a crazy tip. I don't know where to start with that. I guess I'll start off with Southampton. I don't disagree with the tip. I just want to take a minute to say how gutted I am for Danny Ings, to be honest. I mean, it's just, he finally getting some luck with injuries, just a brilliant last season and started this campaign in a similar vein. And now it looks like he's out for sort of 4 to 6 weeks, which is just, it's a real shame. But I do agree, Che Adams should be able to step up. And yeah, but, I mean, Southampton are a strong attacking side. I really like Carson Hurtill. So yeah, I mean, I think they'll be able to cope without him, but just on an individual level, that's really gutting.
What was the odds on it, by the way?
On the overall accumulator? Did you say 20-1, Fabs?
Sorry, yeah, 20-1.
Okay.
Yeah, so I mean, it's good value you're getting there in terms of you're driving it up quite high, and that's mostly from Everton. But in fact, the one that I'm directly going to disagree with on my wildcard tip is Chelsea versus Sheffield United. I've gone hyper-specific. You won't like it, Fabs, but I've gone 1-1. This isn't just to bait you. I just think Sheffield United have been really unlucky to find themselves with only a point on the board so far. They did start poorly, but they looked a lot better recently. City were quite lucky to escape with a narrow win there last week. And Liverpool only won by a goal the week before that, although there was some interesting officiating in that one. Sheffield United, they've struggled to score, but Chelsea have looked vulnerable quite a bit this season. So, yeah, if Sheffield United can nick one, I can see them holding on for a point. So I'm going with that at 8-1. I'll give you a right of reply, Fabio.
Yeah, obviously, I wouldn't be too happy with that one. Yeah, Chelsea's defence isn't sorted out yet. We've kept a lot of clean sheets recently, but still, if you've watched the games, they look likely to concede quite often. That being said, Sheffield United's attack isn't exactly amazing. I'd be surprised if Chelsea didn't score more than one here, so I can't agree with that.
Yeah, I think that's probably where it falls down, if anywhere, is that side of things. Chelsea could easily put three or four past them, but equally, they're not going to score for fun every week, and Sheffield United aren't completely indisciplined at the back. They haven't necessarily been shipping loads of goals that often. So yeah, I'm just hoping Ryan Brewster bangs one in to bring this tip in. Make for a nice weekend. But Joel, what have you gone with? Another big accumulator by the sounds of things.
Yeah, there's a five-fold acca. I've got a few of the same teams as you there, but I've gone basically, not intentionally, but purely looking at the fixtures. It's basically every London team to win. Just having a look at them, I think it makes a lot of sense. Other than one, which I'll come to. So Chelsea, I do think, will beat Sheffield United at home. West Ham are at home against Fulham, which it seems pretty safe. Arsenal at home to Villa could be a little bit tricky, but I think Villa's form has obviously dropped off, and Arsenal usually pretty good at home, even though obviously they lost to Leicester recently. And then you've got Spurs against West Brom, which again, I'm pretty confident with. And the one that really sort of bumps the odds up and is the tricky one is actually the first one. So it could fall on its arse straight away, to be honest. But that's Palace at home against Leeds. If that one comes in, then I think you're looking pretty good. This is 16.5-1, by the way. So yeah, you're banking on Palace to do something. Zaha to basically have a good game, and Leeds is sort of poorer's defence to sort of be their undoing. But the other four I'm pretty confident with. So I think for the odds, it's worth a go.
Yeah, I mean, I was with you right up until Palace. but I mean, yeah, it's either the fun of this segment or the problem with this segment, depending on how you look at it. You do have to throw in something a bit rogue to get it over 8-1.
Of all the borderline fixtures this weekend, it's the one where I can sort of just see them at home getting a sort of little 2-1 win or something like
that. Yeah, I mean, the key is scoring first. Unless Palace score first, they're done for. They can't get back into games when they fall behind, because they're just not a hugely creative side. And when they're forced to show some initiative, they can't. But that's trademark of Hodgson teams, really, not to be too harsh, but I think that's reasonable. But yeah, if the game pans out that way, they nick a goal, like you say, through maybe Zaha or a penalty or something, then yeah, I mean, that could come in. So it's getting you decent odds. So I'll let you get away with it. I think that just about wraps up the main part of the show. I'll hand over to Fabio shortly for the fan team player matchups. But for now, a big thanks to Joel. It's been great to have you on, mate.
Nice one, mate. Appreciate it.
Right, so the fan team section. Fan team player matchups is basically a set of head-to-head contests with fantasy points deciding the winner. Each week, you can select a few matchups to build an accumulator. You can sign up and have a go yourself with our link on Twitter. James and I will be discussing three matchups each week and keeping a season-long points tally to make things interesting. So last week, we had Chris Wood and Wilfred Zaha. I went for Wood, James went for Zaha. Both blanked. Zaha got a yellow, so Wood won that one. Next up, we had Jimenez versus Calvert-Lewin. James picked Jimenez, I picked Calvert-Lewin. Jimenez blanked, whilst Calvert-Lewin scored a consolation, so he took that one. And lastly, we had Wilson against Mope. We both picked Mope. I mentioned that Wilson may not be on penalties, despite having taken one already. Obviously, he then went and took a penalty and scored to shut me up. He also added another goal later, so that was a brace for Wilson. Meanwhile, Mope wasn't in the squad, so an easy win for Wilson.
Yeah, I've absolutely played myself on that Wilson versus Mope one. I did a whole little spiel about who got the assists, talisman theory, and how Wilson is the talisman for Newcastle. Then I still went ahead and tipped Mope just to try and get an edge on you. And then you tipped Mope as well. So just the whole thing backfired. Now I'm horribly behind in the overall standings, but hopefully the comeback's on this week.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, after 3 weeks, I'm leading 4-1 at the moment. We've got Bruno Fernandes against Mo Salah first this week. Who have you gone for?
I'll take Salah here. Obviously, fairly risky given that City are a good side. It's a bit of an understatement, you know, City are one of the best sides in the country, arguably in Europe. But their defence isn't really. Fernandes rarely scores from open play, whereas Salah offers some kind of return most weeks. And given that I'm backing goals in that one, as you'll remember from my value selection, I'm going to gamble on Mo Salah here.
Yeah, I agree with you here. It's a tough one, but I've said pretty much everything that you've said. I'm not convinced by United. Both of them take penalties, although arguably Fernandes is more likely to have a penalty. Liverpool are more likely to outscore United, and I think that Salah is the more likely to score from open play, so I've gone for him as well. Our next matchup is Timo Werner against Harry Kane. I've gone for Harry Kane here. West Brom are more likely to get thrashed than Sheffield United, in my opinion. Kane's definitely on penalties, whereas Werner, he might be, depending on Jorginho, we'll see. Kane also has a bigger assist potential than Werner, so I've gone for him here.
Yeah, I'm not surprised we agree on this one. I didn't have any hesitation in picking Kane. he's up against a West Brom side that was beaten by Fulham. That's never a good sign when you're getting beaten by Fulham. He's been scoring freely this season, and then, you, as you mentioned, assisting as well. And I think he's got the asterisk in this matchup as well, meaning he wins in the event of a tie. So, yeah, a bit of a no-brainer for me.
Yeah, obviously I agree there. And lastly, we've got Phil Foden against Riyad Mahrez. Who have you picked here?
Well, this one's complicated by Aguero returning soon, and Jesus, I noticed, also got some minutes midweek. So if Foden was definitely nailed as the kind of false nine, I'd definitely be going for him. He's looked really effective there, could easily pop up with a goal. But given that isn't likely to be the case, it sort of muddies the waters a bit. But nonetheless, I have gone with Foden. I still just about prefer him overall. He has the asterisk in this one. It's often a toss-up between these kind of Creative City players over who's going to get the actual fantasy football returns. I think Foden is probably still the likelier to actually score a goal. And much as I wouldn't like to see it from a Liverpool perspective, I can easily envisage him getting on the score sheet.
Yeah, it's hard to separate these two. Foden and Mahrez each played 69 minutes against Marseille in midweek. They've each started 5 league games this season. Foden has 3 goals in 9 appearances, whereas Mahrez has 1 in 10. And the fact that Foden has the asterisk means he'll win in the event of a tiebreaker, as you said. So I think that swings it for me, and I've also gone Foden.
This is not how to catch up from being 4-1 behind, man. This is disappointing.
Yeah, I love it. I'll just carry on second-guessing you for the end of the season.
Oh, dear. All right, thanks for that, Fabio. That wraps up our fan team section this week, which means that we are done with another episode of Clutch Football. Thanks very much to everyone for listening. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at Serving Up Clutch, where you can also see updates from our tennis podcast. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.